Amen. So this morning we're talking about Solomon. Now Solomon is David's son, and he is known as the wisest man who has ever lived. He brought Israel together. He built the temple. He increased Israel's power and their strength, their wealth. This, at the beginning of Solomon's reign, was really the glory days for Israel. It was a great time in their history. And it started with wisdom that God gave to Solomon. And thanks to God, we have that wisdom now passed down to us through the Word, through the Bible, primarily in the book of Proverbs. Now, the book of Proverbs is a great book. It's right in the middle of your Bible. So if you go there, if you have your Bibles with you, you can see that Proverbs has 31 chapters. So each day of a typical month, you could read one proverb, right? And you could gain this wisdom from the Lord. I know that Tyler's dad has always, like his whole life, he reads one proverb a day. So you know if it's like, what is the date today? May 11th, that today he is reading Proverbs 11. And through that, just learning the wisdom that comes from God that we can apply to our lives. Now, when I read through Proverbs, I get a little bit distracted. So I don't know if you're more like Tyler's dad that's just like, oh, I love Proverbs. He probably has it memorized by this time. Or if you're like me, where I'm just like one verse. I get stuck on one verse. I'm like, there's so much good in that one verse. And now there's like 30 more verses that I got to read just on this one day. What's the main point? And so wherever you land in that, just know that Proverbs is chock full of wisdom that's meant to be put in and then applied into our daily lives. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Now, all through Proverbs, there's this comparison between those who are wise and the fools. Now, when I was growing up, to call someone a fool, that was like a bad word. That was a no-no. In my family, you would get your mouth washed out with something. If you called anyone a fool, that was just, we don't do that in our family. But all through the book of Proverbs, there's this comparison between those who are wise, this is what they do, whereas the fools who disregard the wisdom, they disregard the words, they end up being fools throughout life. It says right here that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, which turns to wisdom, knowledge applied. True wisdom starts with knowing who God is, what he has done. And the fear of the Lord is that awe and that reverence. It's to look and see who God is, his greatness, his glory, what he is capable of. And the response when we see that grandeur of God, when we see just how great and magnificent he is, the response is the fear of the Lord. It's saying, God, you are so great, and here I am, that you would love me. God, I worship you. I worship you. Fear of the Lord is recognizing that God is in heaven and I am on earth. It's putting God in his place and me in mine, where I belong. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 2, God is in heaven and you are on earth. So let your words be few. There's this awe, this reverence that comes when you recognize that God is God. I can pour out my heart to him, but there also comes a point in time when all I can do is sit in his presence. Say, God, you are God. I'm just going to sit here in your glory, in your majesty, and worship you, revere you. It's a thinking that we are not higher than God. Knowing him, his greatness, is the beginning of true wisdom. And once you know him, once you revere him, once you choose to listen to him and to follow him, you begin on this journey of wisdom. I want you to hear some of the journey at the beginning when we listen to wisdom and we apply it from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 2, starting from verse 1, says, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." There's a turning toward him. Turn your ear to wisdom. That's what the proverb says. Apply your heart to understanding, and it's God who gives it. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." Lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge him. Again, it's putting God in his place and me in my own. Now, for Solomon, who wrote these Proverbs, he started out well. He prayed for wisdom at the beginning when the kingdom was handed to him. There was this moment where God met him and said, "Solomon, you can ask for whatever you want. Anything I will give to you." And in that moment, I think it was one of Solomon's actually wisest moments, he prayed, "God, give me wisdom." Solomon at that point knew his insufficiencies. He knew that the task before him to lead Israel, he could not do on his own. He knew that he didn't have the knowledge, the strength, the wisdom, the power, the history to be able to lead in the capacity that God was calling him to lead. He said, "I need you because I don't have it on my own." See, Solomon started by knowing his need for God. And God answered his prayer and he gave him wisdom. And from that, Solomon wrote about 3,000 Proverbs. These are these wise sayings. In his lifetime, at the beginning of this ministry, when he asked God for wisdom, he did things like building a temple for God, a temple that was so magnificent and glorious that it was known throughout the entire world. This temple of a place where the people could come together and worship their God. They finally had a centralized location where they could do that as a united people to come together and worship their God. Solomon, as I said, he united Israel. He brought them into a time of prosperity and strength. But don't we know that it's not so much how we start, but how we finish? See, Solomon started well. That first moment, "God, I can't do it on my own. Would you give me wisdom?" But unfortunately for Solomon, he didn't finish so well. Did you know that 40% of leaders don't finish well? They fail in one way or another. So what causes this failure? And to know what causes the failure, we really have to understand first, what is wisdom? Because Solomon had it, and yet he didn't finish well. See, what wisdom is knowledge applied. It's not just knowledge on its own. It's not just information. You can have all the information in your brain. You can be very intelligent. You can be very smart. But if all that it is those smarts and it's not applied, you're kind of a fool. Knowledge tells us that fire is hot. And if you touch it, it will burn you. That is good information to have. But wisdom is applying that knowledge and saying, "Because I know that it's hot, I'm not going to touch it." Wisdom is knowledge applied. And so what brought Solomon's downfall is that he did have wisdom, but at some point along his journey, he stopped applying it. He stopped listening to the word, and he began to do things on his own, in his own strength, and in his own way. I want to show you a graphic up on this screen, a bit of Solomon's in very condensed form, his good times and his bad times. So Solomon started well. He asked for wisdom, as I said, at the beginning of his reign as king. It was actually in 1 Kings chapter 3 where God met him in a dream, asked him that he could ask for, told him that he could ask for anything he wanted. And he asks for wisdom. And then he goes through those first few years just fully dedicated to the Lord. And he's like, my dad, David, he wanted to build you a temple, but he couldn't. So I'm going to do it. We're going to have a place where we can worship you in spirit and in truth. And Solomon went to work, and God gave him favor. He blessed Solomon. He blessed his people of Israel. And they were able to come together and build this temple, this centralized place where they could worship. This was the glory days, as I said. And there comes a point in his these moments where Solomon brings all the people together, the temple is built, and they dedicate the temple. And it was in that moment that the Bible tells us that the glory of the Lord so filled the temple that all things had to stop. Nobody could work. Nobody could stand. Nobody could continue. Even like the priests couldn't continue doing their priestly duties because God was there. It was a holy moment. I believe we caught a glimpse, a small glimmer of that this morning in our worship. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. God's glory so filled the temple in this moment that all work ceased. And it was just God's holy presence resting on the people. This was the pinnacle of Solomon's life. A moment where just pure worship of their holy God was happening. But then Solomon stopped listening to God. Even though he had everything he needed, God didn't just give him wisdom. He gave him wealth. He gave him power. He gave him everything that he could possibly need. But Solomon began to look at things that he wanted instead of looking at his God. He began to neglect God's word and God's commands. Solomon took wives and concubines in the hundreds. He had a lot of women. And with a lot of women, unfortunately, women, comes a lot of problems. Solomon not only built a temple for God, but he also built temples for many, many false gods, for all of his hundreds of wives and all of the false gods that they worshiped. He built temples to false gods such as Molech. Molech was a god that is mentioned all throughout the Old Testament. He was a god that required the sacrifice of children as part of worship. And Solomon built a temple to that god. He went with his wife there, and he worshiped there. He went to the high places, the Bible tells us. Instead of tearing them down, he actually went and participated in the worship of these false gods. He began to look like the nations around him. Instead of staying in that moment of holy surrender to God and to God alone. See, Solomon got to a place where I think that he thought he knew better. I think he just kind of wanted it all. At the beginning, he said, God, all I want is you. I want your wisdom. But toward the end, he's like, ooh, and a little bit of this, and a little bit of that, and maybe a little bit of this thing over here, because it feels good to me. The definition of wisdom, remember, is knowledge applied. And Solomon stopped applying it. He elevated himself to the level in many ways of God. How often do we think that we know better than God? I know that I have been there when God has said, hey, Lizzie, we're going to do this. And I'm like, ooh, Jesus, are you sure? That doesn't feel so great to me right now. We sometimes get into those positions and into those places where we think we know better than our God. And so we tell God, whether it's with words or through actions, how he should act, what he should do, how he should answer our prayers. Do we do that sometimes? How we know what's best in our life. It can be easy at times to take this posture, this stance of, I'm kind of in charge. I know what's best. I'm the professional on my life. And that's when we take the place of God. And that's exactly what Solomon did. So failure is caused because of self-reliance instead of God-reliance. It's trusting in myself, in my experience, in my feelings, in my desires, instead of trusting in our God who actually does know best. Failure is caused when we become unteachable. There are multiple proverbs written by Solomon about correction. Proverbs that talk about the wise being thankful for correction, that they listen to it, that they respond to it, whereas the fool despises it. In Proverbs 3, verse 11, it says, don't reject the Lord's discipline. Don't be upset when he corrects you. Proverbs 10, verse 17 says, people who accept discipline are on the pathway to life, but those who ignore correction will go astray. Proverbs 19, verse 20 says, get all the advice and instruction you can so you will be wise the rest of your life. See, there's something about maintaining a posture of teachability, right? That I don't know it all. I want to be taught. I want to learn more. We never, ever arrive. There is always room for us to grow. I had a friend several years ago, I might have shared this before. She grew up in the church. She was a pastor's kid. She studied the word her whole life. She got into her 30s, and things were starting to go poorly for her. And I sat down with her and I said, are you in the word of God? Are you reading his instructions? And she said, no, Lizzie, I don't need to. I know what it says. And I left that meeting so sad for her. Because she took this position of, I have arrived. I know it. You can't teach me anything new. Been there, done that. And her life fell apart. We must remain teachable and humble to say, God, there is more for me to know. There is more for me to learn. Teach me. And if I'm going a way that is not the right way, correct me. Bring me back to the right path. See, Solomon had God's word. He had God's instructions. He had the law that said you're not to take wives of the nations around you. And yet he disregarded it. He had the word and the law that said you're to tear down the pagan altars, not build them up. And he disregarded. At some point along the line, Solomon stopped being teachable. And when we stop being teachable, man, that is a dangerous path. We need to remain humble. We have to be teachable, and that comes with humility. It's saying, I have not arrived. I don't know it all. The same manner in which you began, you have to end. So that posture of humility. When you come into the kingdom of God, I want you to remember back to when you gave your heart to the Lord, if you've done that. When you first come into the kingdom of God, you come in knowing, I am a sinner. I don't have it figured out. Jesus, I need you. That is the same posture that we need to have on our way out. I don't have it figured out, but I know my God, and I still need him. Each and every day. This was Solomon's prayer. at the beginning in 1 Kings chapter 3. He says, "Now, Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" It's a beautiful prayer. It's a beautiful way to start out. God, you've given me this great responsibility, and I know I can't do it on my own. So give me a discerning heart. Give me wisdom. Solomon said at the beginning, "God, I need you." But then he didn't apply the knowledge that God gave him. When we read through the Proverbs, you can hear the wisdom. These are wise sayings, but if all we do is read them and then close the Bible, walk away and do things however we want, our way, there's a proverb about that. It's in Proverbs 26, verse 11 and 12. I love this one because it says, "As a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. Do you see a person wise in their own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for them." If all we do is read and we don't actually apply it and we continue going on about life our own way, we are like a dog returning to its vomit, trying to do things in the yucky old way that we always have. Solomon knew the scriptures. He knew the law, but he didn't follow it. And it makes me sad. I think there's a bit of a tragedy. This could be a great tragedy. To go from the glory of the Lord filling the temple to the point that everything had to stop to now finding himself worshiping in false temples, worshiping pagan, detestable gods. It happens when you don't apply the word. There's a pastor, author, Wayne Cudero. He talks about the danger. He's talking specifically to pastors and leaders, but really to all of us. And he says, the danger comes when you read the word and you give it out, and you read the word and you give it out, and you never first apply it here. He's like, we have got to read the word, apply it here, and then live it out. If we do it this way, we're going to grow in wisdom of the Lord. If we do it this way, you know what we sound like? You know what we look like? Not very Christ-like. It's one of the first signs of impending failure is when we do not apply the word of God. There are three causes of failure, three sayings. The first one is, I've got this. It's that self-reliance, right? Saying that once I got fixed, once I got Jesus, once I got wisdom, then I don't need any more help. Once I got free, man, I'm free. I don't need any more help. I don't need accountability. I don't need anyone to walk alongside me. I don't need correction because I got this. I can do it all by myself. That's the first cause of failure. The second one is the saying, I'm right. I'm right. Pride. Pride comes before a fall. There's a proverb for that. Tyler had a sign in his house growing up and said three house rules. Number one, I'm always right. Number two, I'm never wrong. Number three, in case of doubt, refer to rules number one and number two. I'm right, I'm never wrong. The third saying that is a cause of failure is, I'm the boss of me. It's when we try to take the place of God. We usurp his authority. See, God is the source of all wisdom, but we dethrone him when we get to that place of self-reliance, of saying, I'm in charge. I'm the boss of me. So how do we finish well? How do we walk in wisdom? Because I do believe that there is so much hope through the failure that we see in Solomon. There's hope for us because he's given us the wisdom. How do we finish well? The first is reverence God. Revere him. Remember Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We have to come to this place where we recognize that God is great and he is the author of my life and he is the one that pours into me and walks with me and goes with me through everything. I need to rely on him. I need to revere him. J.I. Packer in his book, Knowing God, says this, not till we have become humble and teachable, standing in awe of God's holiness and sovereignty, acknowledging our own littleness, distrusting our own thoughts, and willing to have our minds turned upside down, can divine wisdom become ours. Not until we become humble and teachable. And I would say, not until we stay humble and teachable. Because it's not just how we start, but how we end. That is when divine wisdom can become ours. So we revere God. We also can finish well when we apply God's word, when we take it to heart and we allow it to continue to transform us from the inside out. Again, in Knowing God, J.I. Packer says this, wisdom is divinely wrought in those and those only who apply themselves to God's revelation. This is God's revelation, the word of God. Are we applying ourselves to his word? Is it transforming our day-to-day life? Revere God and apply his word. That is how we finish well. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27, Jesus gives us this beautiful parable of a wise and a foolish builder. This is what he says. It says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. See, we have the words of Jesus. We have the words of God. And we are meant to put these into practice, to live our life through these words. This is our foundation. It's so funny to me. We just bought a house. We just bought a house, and we're moving to a particular place that is known in Nanaimo for being on a hill, on a cliff, lots of houses on stilts. And the amount of people that have asked us, is your house one of the houses on stilts? And the amount of times that I'm like, you know what? It is built on solid rock. We are good. We have a good foundation. Our decks are on stilts, so be careful on the decks. I don't know. But the house is on solid rock. And friends, we have an opportunity each and every day to build our lives on the solid rock of Jesus. When we take his word and we apply it to our lives, we're not going to be on that sand that washes away. We will stand firm because we are built on Christ as our foundation. Ephesians 5:15 says, be very careful then how you live. not as unwise, but as wise. Solomon, he started well. He did a lot of great things for the kingdom of God. A lot. But he didn't apply it. And he didn't end well. We have an opportunity to stay connected to the source of all wisdom, to stay connected to our God and to his word. That we could say, I lean not on my own understanding, but in all my ways I acknowledge him. And he's going to continue to direct me. He's going to continue to lead me. And I will not fall because on him I have built my life. As we close today, I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. And as they're setting up and getting ready to lead us into a song of worship, I just want to take a moment to confess pride, to confess maybe those three statements that sometimes we either say or we live, the I've got this, I'm right, I'm the boss of me. Those postures and those attitudes that say, God, I'm just going to kind of do things my own way instead of doing things your way. Let's just take a moment and ask God to search our hearts. Confess if we need to those sins to him, and he will lead us on. God, I thank you for your wisdom. Lord, I thank you for the example that we have with Solomon. God, that you gave him everything that he needed. And God, I thank you for the good things that he did, that he accomplished for you. Great things. And yet, God, we know, we see it clearly in Scripture that he didn't finish well. Because he lost his way, and instead of keeping you front and center, and instead of keeping your law and your word applied to his life, he went and did things his own way. And so, God, we are aware today of how easy that is. And Lord, I just pray that today you would help each one of us to take a posture that says, God, I want your wisdom. I want you. I want to apply it to every day, every part of my life. I want to build my life on you, your word as my foundation. So God, search our hearts today. And if there is any pride, any self-reliance, any moments of saying or living in such a way that's like, I got this, I'm right, I'm the boss of me, Lord, would you forgive us? Would you remove those attitudes from our hearts and from our minds? Lord, and help us to walk in humility and to continue to seek you, to seek your face, and to apply your word to our lives. Lord, I thank you that you have given us everything we need. We don't have to lean on our own understanding. We can trust in you. We worship you, God. We thank you for your word. Amen.